Amen to that. Lord God Almighty. Lord God Almighty, we in this country are living in crazy days, as you well know. Lord, when we look on the money that we spend, that we hold in our hands, it says the words, "In God we trust." We come before you this morning, Lord, declaring that truth that was proclaimed so long ago by those who founded this country, that they trust in God. We ask, Lord, this morning that you would take away the anxiety of the political climate of our land. We, as disciples of Jesus, gather here this morning, followers of Christ, seeking, God, that you would give us wisdom in how to proceed in the days ahead. We declare this morning that we trust in God alone. And we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who would agree with that says what? Amen. Would you stand with me as we read some scripture this morning? And here's some scripture just to stir into your thoughts today. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Psalm 27 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Psalm 22, 4 and 5 says, "In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame." Psalm 18, 8 and 9 says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans." Let me say that again. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." Isaiah 26, 4 says, "Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock." The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians, "Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." Lord, we've left our homes this morning to come to this house. We come with purpose this morning. We come to seek the face of our Creator. God, we come with many questions, always. We come, Lord, to worship this morning, in spirit and in truth. We come, Lord Jesus, you the great rabbi, that you would teach us this day. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you, God, for your love toward us. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. For there is no greater love than this, than one would lay down his life for his friends. And truly, that is what you've done to us in the cross. It's amazing to think that the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, would declare to us that we are friends, that God actually cares about us. We stir these things in this morning. And we praise you, God, for this day of life that you've given us. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated. For parents, it's hard to be parents. Do I hear an amen to that? So my wife and I are kind of on the back end of parenting. Our sons now are they're old. They're 25, 22, and 25, 23, and 21. There you go. I got it. So my sons, it's weird now because they can all beat me up now. There was days when I could grab them all and pin them all down. Those days have gone. When my son, my last son, Jeremiah, was graduating high school, And hey, son, what are you planning on doing? He's going to go to JC and so forth. And before we know it, my wife and I found out that he was talking to an Army recruiter. And I warned him, be careful. What are you doing? Well, Dad, I'm thinking about, well, hey, son, don't sign anything. Good counsel, right? Don't sign anything. Guess what he did? He signed. Now, as a father, there are times in our lives where we have moments that we'll never forget, and we actually know them. There are times when you're in the midst of a moment, you're going to say, I'm going to remember this moment for the rest of my life, and this was one of mine. And it was early in the morning a few years ago when I had to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to drive my son down to MEPS at LAX, and he was getting on an airplane and flying to Fort Jackson, South Carolina to begin his basic training. And as we were driving down in the car and we pulled up, it was pitch dark outside. There was probably 200 people standing out there. And I remember we got there a little bit early and I shut the engine off. We were just sitting there and it was really awkward. And I'm realizing I'm not going to see this kid for 17 weeks, really. Well, 10 and then basic and then another 7 and... And I remember he just kind of popped. I've never heard my door handle make a noise like that. It popped. And he started to get out. I told him I loved him. And he grabbed his bag and he stuck his head in the area, door area. And he said, well, Dad, I guess it's time for me to grow up and serve my country. Close the door. Had a big lump in my throat. I watched him walk off into the crowd of people, and I drove home. And I was so proud for that moment. We as a family are a patriotic family, generally speaking. My family, the Winans family, is a part of an organization called the Sons of the American Revolution. My ancestors came to America in the 1600s. My ancestors fought in the New Jersey regiments with George Washington. My ancestors fought at Gettysburg on Little Round Top on the far right side of the New York line. My ancestors have been here a long time. My dad is a World War II vet. We are a patriotic family, and we've been here a long time. I'm proud of my American citizenship, and I'm proud to be an American, and I love this country. Whenever I travel, and I've traveled the world, and every time I come home, it just feels good when I land back here. I'm home. When people are trying to break into your country, that's when you know you've got a good one. Okay? It's true. It's not a perfect land, but it's a blessed land, built on a godly foundation. Now, I'm going to just read it. I want to read something to you. I want to ask you if these words sound familiar. It says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impels them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Does anyone know what document this is? It's the Declaration of Independence. And it's the premise is that God exists. People created in his image have been given certain unalienable rights, that among these is life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And the one to ensure the rights of the people is the government. The government exists to ensure the rights of the people. What a radical idea. What a radical idea. Here's a picture of John Adams. John Adams is the vice president of George Washington. He was the second president of the United States. And he was one of the original signers, and he's the one that helped create the Declaration of Independence with Thomas Jefferson. He's one of the ones that helped forge the Constitution. This man called America the Great Experiment. You see, 200 plus years ago, there was no other government on earth like this one. People existed for the king. 200 plus years ago, there was no government like the one they were making. When you looked at the world, there was all kings everywhere. There was kings, King of England, King of France, King of Russia, King of Germany, King of Portugal, King of Spain, King of Italy, kings everywhere. And the people existed for the king. And these people got together and said, no, there is a God who gave us certain inalienable rights made in his image, and some of these is this, and the purpose of the government is to ensure the rights of the people. And King of England, you're not doing that, and we have the right to separate from you on a moral, religious grounds before God. John Adams called it, "We America is the Great Experiment." This great experiment has changed the course of human history, by the way. How many kings are there today ruling compared to governments that are now elected by people? Think about it. Where did the founding fathers get the ideas of government from? They speak of a creator in the Declaration. What creator were they talking about? What God were they talking about? Ask them. Listen to this. You guys ever heard of a guy named Patrick Henry? Signer of the Declaration of Independence, founding father, he said this: "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Patrick Henry said this. John Jay is the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. So while George Washington was the first President of the United States, John Day was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He said this: "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." Benjamin Franklin's speech at the Constitutional Convention on Tuesday, June the 28th of 1787, said this: "We need God to be our friend and not our enemy. We need him to be our ally and not our adversary. We need to make sure that we keep God's concerning aid. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without God noticing it, then how do we think a nation can rise without his aid?" Benjamin Franklin's quoting who? Jesus Christ and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, right? What God was he speaking of? Christ. Listen to this. Now, this is a great quote. John Quincy Adams was the sixth president of the United States, and he grew up as a little kid watching our country give birth, and his dad is John Adams. John Quincy Adams said this: "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity." The intent of the founding fathers was to build a nation on the principles that God, and in their context, the Christian God, exists. And God has given his beings rights made in his image. And God has wisdom for how civil government should exist and run. Like three branches of government. Where did they get that idea? From the Bible: prophet, priest, and king. Executive, judicial, and legislative branches. Ask the founding fathers. They'll tell you where they got their principles of civil government. America was created by religious people who ran from religious persecution, the Puritans. You ever heard of the Puritans? And check this out. As the 13 colonies grew, there was always people, a strong Christian culture. And when they rebelled against the King of England, they did it on religious grounds, according to the Declaration of Independence. Read it. This country was founded, according to them, on this Bible. Did you know that? Interesting, right? Abraham Lincoln was once asked during the Civil War, "Is God on our side?" He responded, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My great concern is to be on God's side." Abraham Lincoln was the one that began putting the phrase "In God We Trust" during the Civil War. That's when it first was given. During the Great Civil War, he said, man, in the midst of this, he approved the phrase that's on your money today in your pocket. In God we trust. We the people, as the Constitution says, has a responsibility to this country as citizens. And one of them, people, is to vote. It's to vote. I wanted to have a pastoral moment with you this morning. As people that are seeking to meet and to know and to follow Jesus, as we journey into the elections this week, I thought it would be fun just to gather in this room and to speak unto you as a follower of Jesus on how to approach the elections that's going to happen. I want to give you 6 things that you could take notes on. And you have notes. Right now in your worship folder, I want you to take out those notes. You see those notes? Open your worship folder, take out those notes, and I want you to write these things down and think about these things this week. As your pastor, I want you to think about these things this week. As we're approaching this election, I want you to take notes. You ready? Get out your pen. This is note number 1. No matter who wins this week, Jesus remains king. Would you please write that down? No matter who wins this week, Jesus remains king. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 15 and 16 says, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, I have that underlined in my Bible, the only ruler, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. Do I hear an amen? He's the only ruler. He's the only ruler. He is the king of who? All kings. He's the Lord of who? All lords. He's immortal. Every person you're going to vote for this week is all mortal. He's immortal. He's God. Whoever becomes president, Jesus remains king. On the 9th of November, God is still on the throne. Can you all just take a deep breath of me right now? Can you just breathe me in, breathe in? Can you just breathe out? I want you to soak that in. On November the 9th, God will not be shaken, right? He's still king. Read Isaiah 40. Nations are like a drop in the bucket. How many nations has God Almighty seen on the earth? How many have come and gone? Jesus will still remain sovereign king. In God we trust. Can you say that with me this morning? In God we trust. I'll say it one more time. Ready? In God we trust. It's on our money. That's what the founding fathers said. Don't trust in us. Trust in God. Benjamin Franklin, even he, who was the most unreligious of the group. In God we trust. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. In you, our ancestors put their trust. That's true for the ancestors of this country. In you, our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you, they cried out and were saved. In you, they trusted and were not put to shame. Psalm 18, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in presidents, princes. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. How long is God God for? Anyone know? How long is everlasting? It's a long time. I love Paul. The Apostle Paul had a hard life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who does what? What God do you trust in? God who raises the dead. How powerful is that? He is risen. He's not here, says the stained glass window. Our God raises the dead. That's who I'm trusting in. In God we trust. In God we trust. No matter what happens this week, who do you trust, baby? Who do you trust? Trust in the Lord. Amen? Extra credit this week. Read Isaiah 40, my favorite chapter in the Bible about the sovereignty of God and how nations and rulers are nothing compared to God. He's bigger than all this. So if that's point number one, can I give you point number two, something for you to remember this week? Voting in this country is not a privilege, it's a responsibility. The Declaration of Independence says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. We give consent to those governing over us. And how has that happened? By voting. Voting is a responsibility. A responsibility. John Jay, again, I'm going to read this quote, first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, he says, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers." Remember, this was the great experiment 200 years ago. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. And it is the duty, I like that, it's a duty of our Christian nation. Interesting how he would say that. To select and prefer Christians for their rulers. John Jay says it's our duty to vote. And if possible, he says prefer Christians. And there is something about a leader that knows that he is responsible to God for his actions. Here's a great quote from George Washington. "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and his favor." I like it. It's good when a leader realizes that they're under authority of God Almighty. Check out the greatest mass murderers of the human history who existed in the last 100 years. Stalin, Mao, Hitler, atheists, didn't believe in God. Who are they accountable to for their behavior and their actions? Nobody. I can murder whoever I want. There's something about a leader that realizes that everything you do one day, you're going to stand before God and give an account of your lives. Keeps us in check, people. Amen? Do I hear an amen? It's right. John Jay says it's the duty to vote. And if possible, a vote for someone who fears God. Maybe we don't have that option this year for the presidential election. But it's still our responsibility to vote. I heard a brother say one day, Chaplain Frank, both our candidates stink. I told him, well, plug your nose and go vote anyway. Because it's your responsibility. In Romans 14, it says we're all going to stand before God. Vote. Take note number three. You ready? As a follower of Jesus, be informed, be prayerful, and vote your conscience. This church exists to help people to meet Jesus. I hope that you can meet him here. And not only meet him, but you can know him. And not only that you'd know him, but you at some point would bow your knee and follow him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Fall under his authority in your life. To meet and to know and to follow Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, how do you proceed into the booth? How do you approach this election? Well, be informed. Be prayerful. Vote your conscience, because one day you're going to stand before God and give an account of your lives. You should be able to defend why I voted. Vote for issues. Don't vote for a political party. Don't vote for a person. Vote for the issues. Issues that are God's issues. You want to know what God thinks is important? Read this thing. He'll tell you all about what's important. Okay? Start with the Ten Commandments. They're not bad. Those top ten. Work your way down from there. Number four, you ready? Number four. Hey, follower of Jesus, will you please be civil? This is the most uncivil election many of us have ever seen. Can I encourage you? Please don't get drawn in. Be civil with one another. Be civil with those you disagree with. Remain in friendship. Remain in fellowship. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Be a peacemaker. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, Republican or Democrat, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. Remain in friendship and fellowship. Do I hear an amen? As Christians, we need to agree the most significant aspect of our relationships are not our politics or political views or our political affiliations. But we are connected together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Politics has its role, right? But Christ is the most significant aspect of our community, not politics. Do I hear an amen? Would you please be civil and realize we're all one in Christ as believers? You ready for number five? Pray for those running. Pray for those running. In 1 Timothy, it says this, I urge then, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Agree or disagree, like or dislike, Republican or Democrat, Tea Party or Coffee Party, right? Lift up a prayer, people, for Hillary Clinton and her family. Lift up a prayer for Donald Trump and his family. Pray for their spiritual journey. Pray for their convictions. Pray for their leadership. Pray for their safety. Pray for their peace. Pray for them, because one of them will be our next president. Even if you consider them your enemy. Then Jesus says, pray for your enemy. Pray for them. Have you done that lately? Have you prayed for them lately? It's God's will that they all would come to a knowledge of the truth. Pray for your kings and pray for your leaders, says the scriptures. It's God's will. Hey, follower of Jesus, keep this in mind this week. And you know what? By praying for your enemy, it just kind of takes the edge off. Praying for the person you don't agree with just takes the edge off. I mean, even Jesus on the cross says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. These people are killing me. And he prays for them. That's the person you want to follow. Number six, something to consider this week, think about this week in this election. Love God and love people. May our love for politics or ideology or philosophy or even theology never supersede our love for God and for our neighbor, including our neighbors who don't share our politics. Jesus said this. What's the most important thing to remember? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. It's his kingdom, people, we proclaim. I heard a brother say the other day, you know, we're not called to save America. And honestly, I don't know how to save America. But God has called me to save Americans and all people. There's things that I'm called to do and things I'm not called to do. My citizenship, I have dual citizenship. Did you all know that? I was born in this country. My ancestors came to this country in the 1600s. I have dual citizenship. I'm an American citizen, born that way. But more importantly, I'm a citizen of heaven. My king lives in another realm. And for all of you that have met Jesus and knows Jesus and have accepted and said yes to Jesus and what Jesus has done on the cross for your sins, who's accepted the authority of Jesus over your life, the one who raises from the dead has authority. As you've accepted this, then your citizenship is in heaven as well. Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am dual citizenship. And of those two, heaven wins. Right? Amen? Abraham Lincoln was once asked during the Civil War, is God on our side? Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My great concern is, am I on God's side? People, what is God's wisdom for us? What's the wisdom that he would give us this week during this election? How are we as followers of Jesus to approach this week? Number one, no matter who wins, Jesus remains king. Number two, voting in this country is not a privilege, it's your responsibility. Number three, as a follower of Jesus, be informed, be prayerful, and vote your conscience. Be civil. Please be civil. And pray for those running. And above it all, would you please love God and love people? I implore you this week to remember these things. as we enter this week. And may we practice what we preach. I'm going to ask you all to stand. And as one people, can we pray for this country right now? What should we pray for? For a godly leader, we should pray for those that are going to be elected and those that are elected. We should pray for their safety. What should we pray for this week? Wisdom. For wisdom. Amen to that, sister. I need wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. May we have knowledge and apply it. What should we pray for this week? Peace. Do you know this is not the most horrific election that's ever happened in this country, though the newspapers or the media would want you to? You want to know what was the most dividing election that's ever happened in this country? Do you know which one it was? When Abraham Lincoln was elected. When he was elected, the country broke in two, and there was a war that enveloped that cost the lives of 600,000 Americans. Do you honestly believe that that's going to happen this week? I don't. This is not the worst this country has ever seen, no matter who's telling you it is. Pray for peace, safety. I would pray for unity in the most divided land that I've ever seen. Pray for Christians that are in office to have the courage to follow Christ, to embrace the leadership as Abraham Lincoln did, or as George Washington, and these people were amazing. Father, we as a congregation lift up to you this piece of land that we live on, this country. We lift up to you, God, the great experiment that's only 200 and some years old. We pray, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy on this country. We pray, Lord God, that you would help those that are followers of Jesus in this land to be instruments of justice and righteousness, that you would allow us to be instruments of peace, of love. Would you help us, God, to be salt and light in this world in which we live? Lord, we lift up and pray for Donald Trump. What an interesting man, God. We pray for him and his family. We pray, Lord God, for his spiritual journey. We pray, Lord God, that he would grow to know you more each day. We pray, Lord God, for your spirit to fall on him and that you would surround him with people that knows you and loves you. We pray for him this morning here at Woodbridge Community Church in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray this morning for Hillary Clinton. We pray for her and her family. We pray, Lord God, for her spiritual journey. We pray, Lord God, that she would get to know you more and more. And that, God, in the midst of that, that she would find that she's under authority of somebody higher than even the Supreme Court. That one day we will all stand before a court that's even greater and give an account of our lives. Lord, I lift before you her family. Pray for your protection upon her. We ask, Lord, that you would surround her by people who know you and love you. We pray for all the ballots that we're going to be voting for this week. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us in what is the righteous thing to do as followers of Jesus as we vote. God, we are going to do our civic duty. For those of us that have the privilege of calling this place our home, we receive our responsibility and we're going to do our best, God. We ask that you would help us to understand how we should vote. And may we vote our conscience, that you would speak into our conscience with your holy word and your Holy Spirit. And Lord, no matter what happens this week, we say it again this morning. In God we trust. Not in rulers, not in humans, not in presidents. we embrace the godly heritage of this land, and we pray that it would continue. We thank you, Lord, that you are not nervous. You are not to be shaken. You're God, and you're the one we trust. You're the eternal God, immortal, an unapproachable light. You are the king, and every other king bows to you. You're the king of all kings. You're the king, and every president bows their knee before you. You're the Lord. Every other Lord bows their knee before you. You are God. And in you alone we take our trust. We take our stand. Lord, I pray that you would help us to sleep well, no matter what happens this week. May we rest in the arms of our Savior. Lord, we have our heart is burdened for this land, and it should be. But we're not going to let it ruin us, God, because we trust in the Lord.